We're now being recorded both on the telephone and on the live streaming on the computer. Isn't this exciting for us to be together here live? We have been working tirelessly at the office. A gigantic kudo to both Krista and to Megan for identifying the very best service for us to provide this live streaming experience. And those of you who are still on the telephone, if you check your email, you can just click on that link, go live, turn on your speakers, and you can hang up your telephone and enjoy this. We've got a lot of features. We won't be using a lot of them tonight. In the weeks to come, we'll get into our live chat and be able to have you ask questions, and I'll answer them while we're going through the process. We've got all kinds of options with MySpace and your instant messenger and Facebook and Twitter. This is going to become a very robust place for us to spend our Tuesday nights together. Well, welcome. If you're here for the first time, this is Tuesday night, our celebration of life. This is our opportunity to take on our lives, and we want to make this increasingly intimate and valuable as we take on the six qualities of an intentional creator. Now, if you haven't had a chance to take an assessment in the last week, we're going to invite all of you to go back to the site, intentionalcreation.com, and enjoy the videos. There are now videos in the opening, and I'm going to grab my phone. I'm getting text messages already. It says, this rocks. Isn't that fun? Yes, this does rock. This is awesome. Oh, how fun for us to be together like this on a Tuesday night. We can envision this becoming our mode of communication with all of our clients, with our trainings, with groups, with our affiliate calls, etc. We've got a great future ahead of us as we move into the next phase of using technology to help us better learn and implement these principles in our lives. Well, tonight is the last of the six qualities. We have talked about connecting with people and using our mind constructively and mental creation to get those inspired ideas that light up our passion. We've talked about living present in the now, in passion-driven action, physically creating our dreams in tangible reality. We've talked about being disciplined and structured and finding joy in the journey. And tonight, we get to talk about self-esteem. Now, I want to pull up the assessment so that we can take a look at the six measurements that we'll be addressing tonight. If you have your assessment available, and by the way, there's a little button you can push on the screen that makes this full screen. It's not quite as clear, but you can go full screen. The measurements in your assessment, just write these down. It's the very first one. It's entitled, oh, we're getting more and more text messages. I wouldn't have missed this live call. This is awesome. You and Ramona are amazing. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Fernando. If you'll take a look at the assessment that's on the screen, we have the very first measurement, the very top one, whole and complete. Now, this says integrous because we just changed it to the whole and complete, and I used this screen grab from a previous assessment. But the very first measurement, whole and complete, can we see our own uniqueness? Can we see our own pricelessness? On the other side was empathy. Can we see it in others? Here, can we see it in ourselves? Take a look at your assessment. Is that measurement orange or is it red? What are your thought processes saying to you about you? Because we're going to talk tonight about what causes some of those challenges. Then go down four measurements to confident. Confident is how do we feel about our own appearance and our own talents and our own skills and our own accomplishments. Can we value those? Then go down one below that to valiant. Valiant is how do we feel about our own belief systems and where we fit in this planet? Do we feeling like we just don't know where we fit right now with all the firestorms that are raging around us and things used to be different. Perhaps we had a more successful career. And how does all this fit? And where do I fit? Then you go down toward the bottom, and you see the one that says peaceful. Peaceful is a measurement about what happens when someone doesn't agree with my ideas. Am I going to just pretend to go along and have resentment and some resistance and some passive-aggressive kind of feelings. Yes?
When you put the image up there, they lost audio.
You lost audio. Ah. Does that help everybody? This is a great thing to know. When I flip on a new picture, I have to also turn on the sound for that picture. Let me back up. I've been talking for a while. For those of you on the telephone, bear with us. We're talking about this very first measurement, whole and complete. It says Integris on the screen. We just changed it to read whole and complete because everybody kept saying to us, what does Integris mean? Well, it means whole and complete, so we just changed it to that name. It means, can we see our own uniqueness and our own pricelessness? It's about our own worth. Do we feel that we have worth? Do we ever wonder, gosh, does God even love me with all the stuff that's going on around me? What's wrong with me? We go down to confident. We start to question our appearance and our talents and our contributions. We start to question whether we can even do it. Gosh, have I got the ability? And then valiant, we can question where we fit on this planet. Does my belief system work? I mean, I used to believe this, and that used to work for me, and it's not working anymore because the rules have changed. They've changed. We're teaching you many of the new rules and some of the most important ones tonight. When you go to the bottom, to peaceful, four from the bottom, peaceful, the question is, what happens when I have a belief I feel strongly about, and someone else has a different belief and they want to attack mine? Can I just be okay and let them have their idea? Be okay with that? Or am I going to get defensive? That's a possibility. The other possibility is I might just pretend to go along with it, because to fight that would cause more stress than it's worth. We see this often in relationships. It's easier just to be the peacemaker and let my ideas just not be important, which means it steals a piece of our self-esteem. Look at the one below that one. We've got deliberate. We see this one orange quite often. Deliberate is, what are my beliefs about my time and my energy and my well-being? Am I honoring of my own health? Or do I ever feel that I need to sacrifice me to somehow prove I'm okay to everyone else? Or sacrifice me to serve everyone else? Now, it's not that we should be servants. We should be. But there are times when we need to stop and sharpen our own saw so that we can continue to serve. Where is your measurement on deliberate? And then the very last one, the very bottom, unconditional. Can we balance our strengths and weaknesses? What are the risks that we might be too focused on our weaknesses and not only feel bad about what we've done, but start to feel bad about who we are? That's called shame. We're seeing this measurement more and more starting to turn orange, especially with breadwinners who just can't figure out how to make money. And maybe their family has lived in the lap of luxury and they just can't pay for it anymore. And they feel ashamed because culturally and even generationally they've been able to, and all of a sudden they can't. And their wife grew up in luxury and is expecting that, and now they can't provide it, and they feel bad, not just about what's happening, but who they are. Can you hear this dialogue? This is where we're headed tonight. Can we see our own worth? Can we see our own ability? Can we see where we fit in the planet? Can we honor our own ideas and let other people have theirs? Can we manage this time and our commitments and set proper boundaries so we don't wear ourselves out? And can we balance our strengths and weaknesses so that we don't feel bad about who we are? This is our task tonight. This is a daunting task to take on. It's interesting.
interesting what pops up on my computer, like I need a software update. I think we'll do that later. So let's dive into this topic of self-esteem. Let's talk about for a few moments what actually creates these challenges. And I turned on the audio. Is that exciting? There are three primary causes of self-esteem challenges. The first is unmet expectations. The second is traumatic events that have damaged those fragile underpinnings of trust. And the third are inconsistencies in our lives. Let's just take these one at a time and discuss what's happening. Let's start off with these unmet expectations. Oh, this is a theme. For those of you here for the first time, this is good. For those who've heard this over and over again, this is one of the primary motivations behind intentional creation. This is something I can feel it welling up in me as I begin to talk about it. We had a wonderful coaching call this afternoon with my daughters and my wife on this very topic, because we have been using our minds destructively, many. Sometimes we want to escape from where we are, and we want to go to some time in the future when everything's wonderful and there's no more stress and pain. And we discussed this with one of my daughters, asked a question, is it wrong to go to a time in the future when you're successful and there's less stress? I said, sweetheart, the truth is that as we become abundant, we become capable of handling ever-increasing levels of stress. That which used to stress us out is now no big deal. We can handle ever-increasing complications, which means we can handle ever-increasing levels of abundance and wealth. You see, there's a perception that I can get to a point where I no longer have any worries. I spent time today with just an amazing human being. Millions of dollars of income. One of the most amazing houses I've ever sat in. And we spent 2 hours talking about stress. It doesn't go away. There is no such place. There is no such place, not on this planet. Not on this planet. So if we spend our life and our mind trying to find a place that doesn't exist, every time life shows up differently, we are going to have physiological reactions in our body. This isn't just in our mind. We don't make this up. Our bodies are built to deal with this. When we're in fantasy, our body's releasing norepinephrine, a very powerful drug. It feels euphoric. We feel, oh, this is wonderful. Reality shows up and it's different. And our body releases cortisol. That lightning bolt in our gut just rips us apart. Excuse me just one moment. Ramona has brought to my attention that this is not transitioned back to this picture, and that the broadcast is still showing me in the small picture in the corner. Let me just check one more time. If your picture is still showing me in the small left-hand corner, you might push the button on the left-hand side of the picture at the bottom left of the screen and just reload the image. Hopefully that'll work for you. Perhaps I'll stay with this other image tonight. Just one moment, I'm sorry. It would be grateful if someone were able to get on the phone with us and just give us kind of feedback of what's happening on your screen where you are, because on my screen, has changed back? Okay, we've changed back. Very good. Thank you, sweetheart. As we work through this technology, we'll get more and more comfortable. So if we have been engaged in fantasy, and we
we go into this place, and we have this wonderful euphoric experience. Reality draws us down here. What happens? It's just human nature. We don't like our current existence. It's not that we're not grateful. We can step back and be grateful. It's just our initial thought process is, This is not what I expected. By now, I thought I would be wealthier, more successful. I thought by now it would be easier. You fill in the blank. And this is the most interesting thing to discover. I've had the opportunity of debriefing well over 3,000 of these assessments. 25,000 hours of coaching and watch this play out over and over and over again. It's way past anecdotal information. This is so empiric, especially for those who are seeking abundance. And this is it. You ready? We turn inward. We turn inward. It is so real to the mind that when reality attacks, it's like a bear attacking, and when it starts to be different than our mind has seen it, we wonder, what is wrong with me? Especially if you look on the left-hand side of your assessment over there, respectful. If you're focused too much on other people's outward appearance, you might actually look around and say, everybody else looks okay. It seems to be working for them. What's wrong with me? And it attacks our self-esteem. We can question, where do I fit? I don't feel comfortable at church, or I don't feel comfortable in this company. I don't feel comfortable anywhere, because everybody else seems to be different than me. You can know tonight that that's not true, because they look at you and you look so okay, they're tormented thinking you're okay. Oh, it's going to be wonderful when we can finally all be honest with each other. That's valiant. Question where we fit. Then we question our ability. You know, if I just had more money, if I just had a better car, if I just had more education, if I lost a few pounds, or if I had better hair, or I had a different shaped body, if I had something I don't have that's tangible or comparable, contrastable, that's the measurement, then I wouldn't feel this way. I'd have my dream. I'm keeping myself back. And at worst, that's confident. Now at the very top, whole and complete, I can actually start to question my worth. Now, one of the most insidious things is happening in the world. There are those that tell us to look to the heavens and say, I'm worthy, give me my part. As if abundance is something that we seek to have. Abundance is not something we seek. It's not something we win. Abundance is something we become. We become abundant. But in that pursuit, when we're not getting it, there must be something wrong with me. Maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe it's because of something I did in my childhood. Maybe it's because of something I did in my marriage. Maybe it's something I did back when I was in college and I hurt somebody's feelings. And we start playing out all kinds of scenarios. Rarely does that have anything to do with it. But that's how we do it as human beings. And then we work ourselves to the bone, sacrificing time and energy and even our well-being in that measurement deliberate to somehow create this, to prove I'm okay. I'm proving to myself I'm okay. I give up my own belief system. I let other people be right. Got a funny statement from one of our coaches this morning. It said, if I agreed with you, well, both of us would be wrong. We don't need to be right about it. We just need to be okay with ourselves being okay with it. And letting them have theirs too. And being okay with them without us taking it personally. Or having to to sacrifice ourselves. That's the first and major cause of damaged self-esteem. It outweighs all of the other causes. Unmet expectations. It is one of the primary reasons why we teach a person how to think constructively. How to be focused on blessing the lives of other people. Seeking inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems that ignite our passion. Instead of in fantasy, escaping and avoiding and in catastrophe in those dark dungeons of discouragement and despair. If you've been fantasizing, if you've been wanting that place where there's ease and no more stress and time freedom, financial freedom, you now know one of the great causes of any self-esteem challenges you may be facing. I still remember once giving a seminar. I was in Sacramento, and there was a gentleman in the back of the room that I know had attended many of the times that I've spoken and trained. And I remember sharing this one last time, and he raised his hand, and he stood up, and he said, "I finally get it." I remember a Saturday morning training with a group when person said, nothing's happened to me in my childhood. Nobody abused me. There weren't any problems. I've had a great relationship. I love my wife, my children, but my self-esteem," and he said, "this is in the toilet." That's an interesting place. And now I know why, because I've been engaged in fantasy. Incessantly, constantly. And my life is not showing up equal to my fantasy. And I've been beating myself up. I've watched grown men cry. Grown men cry. Why can't I have it? I can almost touch it. I can almost taste it. Why can't I have it? Beating themselves up because a fantasy is not coming true. Well, there's the first cause. Don't mean to beat that dead horse, because it's a dead one, and it's killing us. It's just killing us as a society. We've been able to fund those fantasies with our credit cards and our home equity lines of credit. Oh, we've been able to hide and pretend for so long. This recession has just kicked the tar out of so many. There's the first cause. Second cause. This is a tender one. And those of you who are on the call, you've had a chance to listen to the Chicago Dream. You know that when I was age 2 to 4, I was put in the care of a pedophile. While my father went to school and my mom was working to support us. Strange city. Wonderful couple who just loved children but couldn't have any of their own, who poured gifts out on us. It's taken most of my adult life to rebuild those building blocks that those devils stole so many years ago. This is a great cause of self-esteem challenges, and I've had my share. Wanting to just go in a cocoon sometimes and just get away from it all. Just be quiet and still. A good book or a good movie, you just... unsure, uncomfortable. Ever been there? Has something happened to you along the way where those fragile underpinnings of trust were damaged? That it happened later in life, as a teenager, in a relationship. That it happened when you were in your marriage, and you married someone that was controlling or abusive. Are you there now? Oh, if you are, please seek help. Seek help. I'm a coach. When someone's in the middle of that, they need assistance from their therapist or the police even. most of us. I've met some who have just had such beautiful lives, who are so healthy and so whole and so capable of connecting and so comfortable in their own skin, who've never had to fight through that fear and that anxiety and that worthlessness. God bless their parents. If you're a parent and have a child, be that parent. It's time for us to let go of wishing it would have been different and showing up differently now so the next generation can be whole and healthy, breaking that chain. This topic is so dear to me. 1987, Ramona and I produced a film series on this topic entitled Come In From the Storm, China Doll, The Diary, The Necklace. Gordon Jump from WKRP in Cincinnati and Tiffany Brissett from Small Wonder were in the first one. That was the third one. That was the one on sexual abuse. The one on physical abuse, Bumper Robinson and a little boy from Webster, Manuel Lewis. Manuel Lewis came in a spaceship from the future to talk to his father when his father was still a little boy, to have him deal with it as a child, to break the chain so he wouldn't grow up and be an abuser. Oh, it's fabulous. It's just such a fun film. And the very first one, China Doll, featured my little daughter dealing with a mother who was emotionally abusive. Not my wife, just in the film, of course. And we've had the privilege of getting that film into every military base in the world, every Department of Defense school system, and thousands of school systems in the U.S., and Canada, New Zealand, Australia, to help deal with this issue as part of my healing. Where are you? Something happened to you along the way. Often, it requires a little therapeutic intervention. Be okay. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. You need to process through this. If you're ready to now move beyond it and look at that sack you've been dragging and dump it out and look at all of that and say, I wonder if anybody else is going through this. And you'll take that experience and engrave it on your heart. Own it. It's part of your character. You will be able to step into people's worlds at extremely high levels. Because you'll see things, you'll feel things that other people won't see and feel. Because you've been there. You'll need to tell them, as I told you tonight. You'll just know the questions to ask that only someone would know to ask who's been there. Finally, someone will know. The person you're talking to, can you imagine them? Finally, someone understands where I am. That's the service you get to provide. That's your gift. As it says in the material, our character is forged in the furnace of adversity. We know what pain feels like. We can't take it back. But we can use these painful experiences as a rich resource to help us better understand and connect with another person. And when we do and we serve them, there can finally be purpose in the pain. Finally. I don't think we're putting those experiences to have them. I don't think God works that way. We've had them. Can we use them to be His hands, His eyes, His ears in blessing someone else? There can finally be purpose when we stop dragging it around and use that experience to better connect with another. There's finally joy in the journey. Ah, the peace that comes, the joy that comes when we're in service to another, taking down those walls of resistance and having that cooperation and productivity flood out to us. Oh, what a glorious thing. And lastly, there's much needed healing in your soul. This is a tough one, those fragile underpinnings. Just know as you go through this, that much of this is designed for those who have had really traumatic events. Maybe your loss wasn't at the hands of another person who abused you. It might have been the loss of finances. You might have lost your dream home, your dream estate, your job. Maybe after years of pouring your heart into some place, you showed up one day and they just let you go. Had you clear out your desk and you walked out with a box. And just, you gave them your life. And they gave you a pink slip. That'll do it. That'll damage those fragile underpinnings of trust. But you now know what it feels like. Oh, the service that you could provide. You have been so uniquely prepared for this moment in time, this very moment in time, because you know what was the loss. Just reflect on it for a moment. That's the second most common. The third most common challenge is one that's difficult to talk about, because if you're in the middle of it, the risk is that I could cause more pain. And it's not my intention to do so. It's my intention to just have you maybe look at it differently. And differently is this. It's inconsistencies in our life. And this is how it works. We show up in public like this. And we are on our best behavior when we're in public. There's nothing wrong with that. And then there's this piece, our secret life. Are there any inconsistencies between these two? These secrets are generally addictions. Eating addictions, alcohol, drugs, pornography. Those things we would not want to have broadcast to the public. When those things are occurring, we just don't know who we are. Am I this person or am I this person? Am I this person or am I this person? Am I this shameful person who feels awful about this secret behavior? Or am I this? Well, guess which one you are. Neither. You're the one observing this. You're beyond both. Yes, this behavior wants to suck you down into that negative feeling of shame and fear. And yes, this feels like I'm pretending. But you're up here. Let us begin the process tonight of making these congruent. I don't mind telling you, Saturday morning I had a meltdown. It had been a very long week. And it was going to be a weekend of shooting more videos. And all of that stuff comes up. How do you say what needs to be said without a script? How do you do that? And do it in a short period of time. Give me an hour and we can have a great conversation. Give me 2.5 minutes to say all of this and my mind just goes wacko. And I said to Ramona at one point, I said, I feel like I've got 50 arrows coming at me. I only have one shield and I don't know which one to block. You know what the secret was? The secret was to look right here in this camera and see you. Right where you are today. To see what's going on in your life. To feel what you're going through. And knowing that I had one chance to reach you. That's what changed it. All of a sudden, miraculously, things shifted. And I was at peace. That's what changed it. And peace was finally restored, and it was a great day. I'm shooting additional videos for the website. I want you to know that. Because some people say, Dave, what is it like to be in control of your thoughts? And I say, I don't know. There's an awareness that helps us catch ourselves maybe a little bit sooner before there's a lot of damage that's done. Sometimes we can catch ourselves in the middle of it. And the goal is to ultimately be aware enough not to go there. But if you've got a habit of being overwhelmed or even getting frustrated or angry, this is my last frontier. This is a painful one. So that how I am in public with you tonight on my best behavior and this are the same person all the time, all the time. Whether the camera's on or whether I'm by myself, that's where we want to be. Because then we don't question, who are we? We know who we are. And see the objective. The objective of this whole quality is for us to be real and genuine and authentic without the need to impress anyone or pretend or to feel ashamed about who we are. And fear. Dr. Hartman, who did the math for our assessment, he said, this is the hardest task in our mortal existence. And he added to it this, and the highest level of maturity. Wow. I don't know about you, but I used to think people became mature as they got older. As I'm getting older, I'm discovering age has very little to do with maturity. We're mature when we can be real and genuine and authentic. I want to introduce each one of these words and just take some notes. Real. Real is the root word to relationships. It is to build and nurture relationships. It's to be comfortable listening for doors, stepping into someone's world, creating a safe place and taking down their walls of resistance. Caring enough about another human being to look into their world and be with them, that's being real. Sometimes it's hard to be real. If things have happened in your life that cause you to reflect on yourself, what about me? What are they going to say about, am I articulate enough? Or are they going to look at me in this camera and say, Dave, you've eaten too many donuts, and it's probably true. And what are they going to say and think and all that fear and anxiety that we bring to a conversation? Because when we're real, that noise stops. And we show up in the service of another. Whole and complete. That's being real. That will be one of our objectives. The second objective is to be genuine. Now, genuine comes from the Latin genus, which is genius. It's to embrace our genius, our natural gifts. And quality number three, we talked about procrastination, that noise in our head is louder than the noise of the activity we're procrastinating. As we get closer and closer, it's finally yelling louder than the noise in our head. We shut it off, jump in, do the task, and we go, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? We just met our natural genius, what we're capable of doing unfettered from all the noise in our head. The objective is to have that ability alive and well all of the time. Wouldn't that be a great thing? It's not about arrogance. Arrogance is an overcompensation for feeling less than. You see someone who's got the bravado and the arrogance, and I want to give them a hug and say, it's okay. You're okay. You don't need to do this. You're okay. The quiet person who brings all of their natural gifts to the solution of a problem or challenge, to the completion of a task, to the strengthening and nourishing of a relationship. Oh, can you imagine? Lastly, authentic. Anthosectic. It means to be our true self. The one back here, the observer of. Not the thought process that's rebellious or resentful or angry or frustrated or needs to be right. It's the one back here, the observer of this, the one with a heightened level of awareness who can see people the way God sees them, who can be unconditional and forgiving and kind. The invitation is to be authentic, our real self, self-directed. Doing the next right thing for the right reason. So imagine this objective. This is what we're going to work on this week. Being real relationships. Genuine. Bringing our gifts to tasks and relationships and challenges. Being authentic. Bringing our real self. Our self-directed, determined, confident person. Imagine being in this place, comfortable in our own skin, fully available to bless and serve others. This is our objective. Because the alternative is to impress people. That means we take whatever we have and we make sure they see us. I've joked a lot about it. It's a true story. I mean, it's a truth. It's embarrassing. But before God decided to give me a heart transplant and reach down inside here and cut me open with a dull knife and yank out that old proud heart, which I could take you to that night. I remember walking out of the front door and this beautiful porte-cochere over the drive, and I'm climbing into this Ford automobile, and I'm looking over at that 40-foot custom Bluebird home, motorhome that's conspicuously parked in the garage, and oh, he's got a glorious life at the top of Mount Helix in La Mesa, California. And I'm thinking, truly, I was thinking this. How will people know if they see me in this car that I drive a Mercedes? Can you imagine? Had a Rolex watch. It was like a watch model. Did you see it? Oh, let's try that one more time. And you missed it? Oh, isn't that beautiful? Aren't I cool for having one? I remember sitting at the signal light at the bottom of Mount Helix one day, and I looked down and I forgot to put it on. I'm headed to a meeting. And I have this conscious thought. Should I keep going and be on time, or should I get home, go home and get my watch? I drove home and got the watch. And I've said before, even God had finally had enough. I wanted people to see what I had, what I'd accomplished, because that's where I got my worth. It wasn't about being real and genuine, authentic. It was about being seen and loved and admired. That's impress. It's all over compensation. For a lack of real self-esteem. Then there's pretend. That's when we pretend to be wealthy. That's when we pretend that everything is going okay. Sometimes we just need to face the truth. One of our great concerns in that moment will be, but what happens if they find out? They really don't care, because they're not looking at us going, wow, I want to be like him. They're just beating themselves up for their own inadequacies. We don't really serve them by impressing or pretending. someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. And lastly, fear. Cortisol fills our body and our amygdala, right there at the top of our brainstem. It goes up and starts shutting down our prefrontal cortex. We get this brownout in our brain. And all it's doing is centralizing the energy in our fight or flight center so that it can fight this terrible thing called reality. It doesn't want to waste any energy on practical judgment or empathy, just the fight or flight. And when that happens, and our body releases those chemicals, almost everybody on this call tonight has got very high levels of empathy, intuition. We read that feeling and believe it means something. And believing that it means something, we actually make decisions based on those intuitive feelings. False evidence appearing real. Unknown author said that. The false evidence is the cortisol and the fear dendrites, and they appear to be real. And we react. It's the primary source of fear. Now, if you've ever encountered a rattlesnake, I have. That's a different kind of fear. We're just talking about life circumstances that put us into a tailspin of catastrophizing. So the objective, real, genuine, authentic, without the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear. The highest level of maturity. That's our objective. So what do we do? We've got a few minutes. I want to give you some clues, and then I want you to go into this material this week, into quality number 6 in your studio. There's a couple of hours of very specific instruction. I'm going to give you a couple places, because the very first thing is we're going to want to focus on ourselves. And I pulled this up because I want to read a paragraph to you. I remember when this came. Self-love is more about reverence for the infinite and intrinsic gift of life, starting with our own. It is more about honoring and magnifying the gifts that have been given than lamenting the ones that seem to be missing. It is more about focusing on contribution to the world than the endless accumulation of things. The opposite of self-love is exemplified by the narcissistic Gaston in the classic Beauty and the Beast. This pathetic character was so self-absorbed that his obnoxious antics repelled Belle, a self-respecting, self-confident, and deeply grounded woman. Dr. Hartman, another quote from him, "Unless you like yourself, you cannot like anybody else." Sound familiar? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Unless you feel that you are of importance, nothing can be important to you. You must feel that you are important. You must take yourself seriously. If not, if you do not take yourself seriously, you might view yourself as an accident. You might as well not have happened. If you dislike yourself, you are lost. And the power in this quote comes in the next sentence. Then you are lost to the universe. You cannot enrich the world. And you have been created to enrich the world. In other words, we rob ourselves and everyone else of our greatest gifts. Well, let's walk through a couple of steps. First, go into this material deeply. Know thyself. This is taking that sack we've been dragging and emptying it. Know thyself. Two, choose thyself. Stop wishing, as I did in college playing football, that I was 3 inches taller, 30 pounds heavier, and a bit faster. I wasn't. Taking all that I had and pouring it into it was all that I could do. That was the most. When when we know ourselves, we can take the clay which we've been given, uniquely ours. And step three, create ourselves. Create the most we can with what we've been given. And when we are creating, we can find ourselves in the fourth step, giving. And not from an empty cup, a cup that is overflowing. Now, some of you might say, but Dave, you don't know what I've done. Oh, I say to you, you don't know what I've done. Know yourself. Use your life experience in serving others, and there will finally be purpose. There will finally be joy, and there can finally be healing. Know thyself. Choose thyself. The day you make this decision will be a day that you will come alive. You've been avoiding the very clay that you've been given with which to build. Now, there's no mistake that we wait till the very end for us to work on self-esteem, because we've given many of the very things we'll want to work on. I'm not going to put this slide up because I don't want to lose the video. Intrinsic validation. When we truly care about another person and we step into their world and we take down those walls of resistance and we are actively in a partnership with a power greater than ourselves in that activity, and that wall comes down, that cooperation floods out to us, the joy that comes heals self-esteem. Quality two. When we are using our mind constructively to receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems that ignite our passion and drive our focus and discipline and effort and action, and we see what happens as a result, oh my goodness, we begin to know that we're known. One of those five ways of constructively using our mind is called inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I will serve them. Start your day with that. You'll be guided. And when you call or contact or see that person, maybe it's one of your children, that's the person I serve today, you will know that you are known. You will know that there's a power who will trust you with that life. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I know so many times it's been such a joy to say to someone when you show up to serve them and uniquely what you've experienced is exactly what they need, to confidently say, isn't it wonderful to know that God knows your name? When you know where you fit in this universe, and you stop beating yourself up over what you may have done and start using your life experience in the service of another, miracles happen. In quality three, as you fully use your genus, your genuine, God endows you with more ability. You'll feel it when it comes. He'll put people on your path who can serve you and who you can serve. Ramona and I had this in a very profound way in the last 48 hours. Moving. Then you just fall to your knees. Now, this isn't Sunday school. However you view that, I'm not ashamed of my testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my testimony. And I honor yours and your beliefs. Join me in acknowledging a power greater than us. That power will be your partner. If your purpose is to serve others, truly serve them. Quality four, we start letting go of resistance and resentment, and we're in the straight to narrow way. And S-T-R-A-I-T. Securitous route sometimes, avoiding those rocky shoals. We start finding gratitude, honoring both the gift and the giver of the gift, maximizing the most with the clay we've been given. Self-esteem is healed. There's also some other things in here. There's some affirmations you'll want to listen to. And then there is an audio. Just want you to find a really quiet place to listen to this. I put it to music. I just want you to listen to it so you can step back from all of this and shut off these noises so that you can hear. Go through these processes this week, and while you do it, study 3 times a day, scroll number 4, I'm nature's greatest miracle. That flame that burns inside of you, that's passed down from generations uncounted, that's a constant irritation to your soul to be better than you are. You were born on this earth, and you have a purpose, and that purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink to a grain of sand. You are magnificent, and you are unique, and you have been given a life of experiences, some very painful, but they have prepared you for this moment. Now, I'm going to spend just a moment, because we've been getting lots of messages. I'll tell you, next week when we do this, I'll have someone observing that so that I can respond, because I just realized you can tell me on our chat whether the text is showing. I can see that now. Just tell me the video is fine. This is cool. Major. Stress will not go away with more money. Oh, isn't that true? Isn't that a great discussion? This is powerful. What a fun thing to be able to do this with you each week, for us to really connect and talk about these principles. I can tell you right now that in the darkest hour of my night, I promised that power that I'd spend the rest of my life showing other people how to do this if he would show me how. I'm just sharing with you what I've been shown. I met Og in that process. And when I read Og's material, I have continued to learn. And it also was very familiar to me. Been there, felt that. Let it resonate with your heart. Regardless of your backgrounds or beliefs, it will speak to you. It's true. It's just true. Let it go inside your soul and work on you. Spend some time with scroll number 4. It's absolutely an inspired 3 pages of text. Well, we've gone right up to the hour. I want to spend just a moment and let my sweetheart come on. We've been talking about self-esteem and the impact it has on women. I'd just like her to close with a few thoughts for you ladies tonight to take with you. So I'm going to have Ramona step in here. This is my sweetheart of soon-to-be 36 years. We're a month away from our 36th anniversary. 7 beautiful children are married, and they've given us 19 grandchildren and 2 more on the way. When you spend a moment with Ramona, you just know why it's so easy to be in love with her. Here's Ramona.
Wow. Dave prepped me a little bit this afternoon and said, what would you think, honey, if I put you on here? And I wasn't looking at the camera, so I go, oh, there you are. And then I had to cover up the screen down here so I couldn't see myself, because that started the dialogue going kind of crazy and wacko. But I just have such an appreciation for what Dave went through to break through his fears to open this up and be on camera. You ought to try it. I'm sure some of you have if you Skype a lot, but just amazing experience to have this kind of intimate technology, to feel like I'm right there with you so you can feel my heart. And Dave ask, well, I took it on myself to do a little mental rehearsing, which is not my gift. I just truly admire Dave's gift of being able to mentally rehearse and bring these principles to people so hopefully you can understand them and bring them into your life. But as I did my feeble attempt at mental rehearsal, I did have an aha moment. And what I want to share with you in closing is, if you don't feel like you're quite relating to what Dave's saying, for instance, when he, in the past, I've heard him talk about fantasy for so long, my fantasy looked so different because I opened my eyes to it today in my mental rehearsal. The fantasy I've had with my body issues, and I just couldn't face it, but the aha was I could see that I create this so much in my life because of unmet expectations. It really boils down to that principle. So what I'd like to share with you is to take all these principles that Dave is sharing with you and then be open to what it might look like in your life. It doesn't have to look like Dave is explaining to you exactly, but if you will be open with an open heart and mind and say, I know this principle is true, so how is it really showing up in my life? And then take it on. Take a look. Don't be afraid. Just know it's that resistance that's keeping you in this pain. It's opening up and not resisting it to be able to heal, that is a true possibility, and I just wanted to share that with each one of you. And I'm so looking forward to us getting this down with this technology so that Dave is able to look at your comments and respond to them, and you'll feel more connected to both of us in this experience. That truly is our wish. And we love each one of you so much. And feel your pain, and know that we have pain too, and we feel your support. So thank you for being a part of our lives, and we hope to be a real important part of your life too. Back to you, Dave.
Isn't she wonderful? Well, thanks everybody for being with us tonight. Go to the material and really listen this week. Go through these little bite-sized segments. You can download the transcription and follow along and make notes. You can download the coaching guide that goes with this. You can download the audio for your ears only and listen to it when you're at the gym or driving the car. Put a CD in your car and listen to it. Start to take this one on. It incorporates all six qualities into one topic, and that is your magnificence, so that you can be real and genuine and authentic, whole and complete, comfortable in your skin, fully available to serve others. Thank you, and we'll wrap up this night and look forward to being back with you next Tuesday. Thank you.